This particular passage in Ephesians is not my favorite passage to preach. Just going to tell you that right up front. But today, the Lord, well, over the course of the past 3 days, the Lord was telling me I didn't have any choice. So here we go. When I think about the whole armor of God, one of the things that happens for me is, you know, I grew up raising boys. I was sort of an adult when I started raising them. But the boys loved stories about conquest. And, you know, armor is part of that whole story thing, isn't it? Where you have to put on your helmet and get your breastplate and your shield and your sword. Wes has a whole collection of shields and swords, some of which are at the new house. And often when we think about this passage, we kind of go to that place too, don't we? You know, the Roman armor of the day. In fact, on your bulletin cover, you have some Roman armor. But Paul isn't talking about that kind of armor. And it took me all these days that God was wrestling with me to realize what Paul was probably sharing with us. So this morning, I want us to take a whole different look at what Paul was telling the Ephesians. Because in the first part of the Ephesians, up until this chapter, we're hearing that Paul's message to the people of Ephesus, who were struggling with one another, was peace and reconciliation. God's message, God's gospel of love, of peace and reconciliation. And then we get to this chapter, and suddenly we have this military illustration, these military symbols and metaphors of what it means to be in the body of Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow the way of Jesus. So what did Paul really mean? Paul's helping us understand, and today in the world where we are so divided over many, many issues, we understand that there's a lot of powers and principalities that seem to have control over our lives that we don't understand. And then we all sort of take sides about which power and principality is the one we should follow when there's only one to follow, and that's this one. So then this morning, what is it about this armor that maybe we need to think about? So follow this with me for a little bit, because he talks about first putting the belt of truth around our waist. So in today's world, we might be asking, who's truth? And who's telling the truth? In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only truth that we can know is the truth of God through Jesus Christ. The truth that love came down at Christmas. Love died on the cross on Good Friday. Love rose from the dead on Easter so that we could have life and have it eternally. That we could learn how to be reconciled to God and to one another through Jesus Christ. Love is the truth. That is the belt that we put on, the belt of love, the belt of Christ. Because if Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life, we're kind of belting ourselves up with Jesus, aren't we? Girding ourselves up so that our pants don't fall down. No, girding ourselves up so our it's this expression, put your big girl pants on and get going. That's so those big girl pants won't fall down. But John, you don't have to put on big girl pants. You can put on big boy pants. But it's that sense that even when the world gets rough, we need to be belted up with Jesus. So then it goes on, and he tells us, when you have bifocals, he tells us lots of things. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate covers the heart, right? What righteousness really is a right relationship to God and a right relationship to the world through our right relationship with God. So our breastplate of righteousness is being right with God so that we can be right with the world. It's not about anything but about a relationship that keeps us in God's right way. So the breastplate of righteousness allows us to stand against the world in a way that claims love again, love to each other and love for even the ones who are speaking things that we might not agree with or doing things we might not appreciate, that we can stand protected because we are in that place of right relationship. So the temptations that come our way to stray from that right relationship, that pull us away from being right with God and right with one another, somehow they don't make it there because our hearts are right with God. And then I love as shoes for your feet. You know very well I wanted to go barefoot. In fact, before I started preaching, I took my shoes off, but they must have gotten wet and it stunk so bad I had to put them back on. But as for your feet, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Here we're talking all this kind of armor, and we're to give the gospel of peace. Jesus says again in John, my peace I give to you, my peace not as the world's peace. I leave my peace with you. So what kind of peace from Christ do we receive? It's the peace to knowing that we are in that right relationship. It's knowing that there is nothing the world can do to us, the world can do for us, the world can do in us that can separate us from the love of God if we are in that right relationship. And that's the gospel of peace we're to share with the world. That the one thing that can see us through whatever muck and mire we happen to be in is God. Because God's going to be in the muck and mire with us. You can guarantee it. His feet will be just as dirty as ours. And he will be beside us all the way. And if we were to share that message of peace, if we were to share that message of love, if that is what we were doing in the world with every act we take, with every breath we take, might our communities be changed? Might God be able to use us in ways that we can't even imagine? And then it says, with all of these, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. I watched Wes make all these crazy shields out of foam. And foam and duct tape. You wouldn't imagine what you can make for a shield with foam and duct tape. But a shield of foam and duct tape isn't going to really hold anything back. So what is a shield of faith? Well, faith comes from God. Remember, we're in that right relationship with God, and God's faith in us and our faith in God is the thing that allows us to see that the things of the world are not permanent. They're like dust in the wind. They're going to come and they're going to go. And some years we'll be fat with food, and some years we'll be starving. Some years we'll have health, and some years we'll have sickness. But with faith, we know that the next day is going to come. How many of you got up this morning? I hope those of you watch with us on Facebook Live are awake. How many of you got up this morning? Well, to go to sleep at night is an act of faith, is it not? That the next morning is going to come. So the shield of faith prevents us or protects us from the things of the world that aren't permanent. The things of the world that want to come at us, that want to hurt us, that want to harm us. But let's get real. It also protects us from things like fear, does it not? If we have faith, why do we fear? If we have faith, why do we doubt? But then you're going to go, but I do fear and I do doubt. And that's, you want to know why? We're human. Fear and doubt is part of who we are. But God's faith never fails. God's faith in us. God's faith never fails. Take the helmet of salvation. So the helmet is this thing that protects Leo when he's on his motorcycle if he were to crash. The helmet protects our brains from brain injuries, right? Salvation comes from God through Jesus Christ, but we have to say yes to that salvation. We have to say no to the things of the world. The way of salvation is always, don't we tell people the way of salvation is to repent from your sins, turn away from that world. But you turn to something. You don't just turn away from the world and end up in nothing, do you? You turn away from the world and turn to a life with Christ. But that's a whole reordering of your brain as well, as you work on the forgiveness within your heart, where you forgive yourself, you forgive your friends, you forgive your family, you forgive your enemies. Forgiveness becomes that way of life within you and within your brain. The helmet of salvation provides that barrier so that more things we have to forgive don't happen. Well, maybe we have a permeable helmet that sometimes things do happen and we have to work on it again and again and again because we're human. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Often, the sword of the Spirit is considered this Word of God, the Holy Bible. But again in John chapter 1, see how fast this preacher can get there. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The sword of the Spirit is Christ. Christ is our whole armor. When we put on the full armor of God, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians, we put on Christ, so that Christ not only dwells within us, but Christ dwells around us, so that the world sees Christ in everything we do. The world hears Christ in everything we speak. But Paul's last words are to ask them to pray for him, that he might receive a message from God and that he might speak it boldly. Because his last four words in that sentence are, "As I must speak." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must speak. We must speak the mystery of the gospel, which is love. We must speak the gospel message of peace. We must speak it into our lives. We must speak it into the lives of our family. We must speak it into our community. We must speak it in those places of power and principalities. We must speak it in social media. We must speak the word of love to the world. When we begin to speak something else, when we begin to say words that might cause division and disagreement, we are not speaking love. When we put on the full armor of God, we are allowed to speak boldly that which God is calling us to speak. We are allowed to live in the world as God has called us to live. We're allowed to trust not just God, but learn to trust one another and not live in fear of the other, no matter how much they look like us or how much they look different from us. The world's not going to change if we don't change ourselves. Don't be afraid. I was not in anything thinking when I was growing up that I was going to be speaking the word of the Lord, but I must speak the word of love every time I get here in this pulpit. And why? Because we don't understand it. We don't get it, including me. I'm just as guilty. We don't get it. God calls each and every one of us beloved. Every bit of God's creation, God created out of love. If we can't learn to love as God loved us enough to die for us, then the world won't have the hope that is within it, because we're speaking that hope when we speak love. God is going to win. Love is going to win. Our question might be, are we going to be collateral damage? Or are we going to be ones who proclaim that message of love? As I must speak, I must also listen. So my prayer is that we spend time in prayer each and every day. Silently, no words, no words. Because we need to listen to what God is telling us to speak. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.